This is episode 3 for November 16th, 2007.
Hi, I'm John.
I'm Johnny.
I'm Rich.
And I'm Kathy.
And we'd rather be LARPing.
Why am I last?
Because we're going counterclockwise.
They can't see that.
But the people can hear it.
touche. Right, Rich?
Yeah.
That's all you're going to say.
Well, it sounds weird coming from different directions. It's like blah, 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 blah. In a certain semicircle, it sounds more eloquent.
What are we updating?
Well, just letting people know why we haven't put out an episode for a while, and... Yeah. It turns out that after ShimaCon, we...
lost our mics.
Yeah, it really sucked. We didn't have no idea where our mics were, so...
I see they were stolen.
Probably.
By who?
Oh, the complaining lady?
We'll call him worthy of cheating.
inside jokes. No one will ever get them.
That's a fun of them.
Crusty sheets. That's crusty sheets.
Okay.
It's not true. moving right along then. So yeah, we got a new mic and it seems to be doing well as far as recording purposes.
Rich really likes the shape.
It's curvy.
It's curvy, yeah.
It's curvy and shaped like a phallus.
Or a
flute.
It's got a little lip on the top.
Anywho, moving right along then, let me see.
They high-fived.
We got a couple of updates aside from us getting new mics and able to go right back into things, and that's, let me see. We have Midrain coming up, and Johnny, we'll let you talk about this.
Because you're black.
Oh, Midrain. What to say about Midrain that hasn't already been said? Wait, nothing's been said, right?
No. We haven't talked
about it. Okay, let me try. Okay. Midrain is going to be fun. It's going to be great.
It's going to be in a corn maze.
Hey, actually, is it going to be in a corn maze?
Yeah.
I got to make sure I'm right. Okay.
Well, I thought we were going to do the corn maze for coronation.
Fine. Corn maze for coronation. Midrain will be when we eventually do that crap at Rich's house. I don't care. Keep talking about Midrain.
What is Midrain, Johnny?
Tell us,
curious.
Please.
Midrain is usually a celebration in Amgard chapters, Stronghold, Freehold. I'm getting used to the wordings here. Give me a break. Terminology is not my strong suit. But,
it's birthday
Anyway. It's basically the celebration of half a year. Half a year of doing what we do best.
It's the middle of the king's reign.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's why.
Well, what does it have to do with everybody else?
Well, because a monarch typically reigns for a year. Or at least half a year.
Yes.
Yeah, if he's reelected.
That's nice.
But yeah,
usually in these celebrations we have tournaments, competitions, special quest battles that involve something very hideous and disgusting.
That glows in the dark. see what else to say about Midrain? It's
gonna be loads of fun. You should come and give us your money. Nah, don't give us your money. Give me your money.
What do you mean, come and enjoy yourself?
Yeah, come and enjoy yourself. Have fun.
Eat some food.
Eat some women.
Hopefully.
aside from that, we also recently received word from an Amgard kingdom, which is a celestial kingdom. And apparently they're interested in sponsoring our quiet little freehold. That's way down in...
Donna, Texas?
Weslaco, Texas.
In the Rio Grande Valley. It's one of my many. Shut up.
So yeah, we're looking into sponsorship as far as that, and it looks as though we have a kingdom that's willing to sponsor us, so...
But are we willing to join the kingdom?
It depends on what they offer.
Yeah, so therein lies the ultimate question.
Yes, quite.
I have a strong will and a big constitution.
And by big constitution... let me see, aside from that, we have birthdays coming up.
Birthdays!
So whose birthday is coming up first?
Mine?
Yes.
On the 13th?
Yes, that's yeah. Kathy's birthday.
The 13th of December.
So if you want to send us anything, like cake.
Yeah, send me cake.
Now let me see, the next birthday we have is...
Mine.
And who
December are you? December 16th. I hope I'm rich.
Because if not, stealing the skin would have been a bad mistake. And let me see, last but not least...
By the way, I'm going to be 21.
Yes. Last but not least is me, John. Wait, do you have a birthday this month?
No! I'm a summer baby.
It's going to be me, John, and I'm on the 31st, so yeah.
He's going to be 25.
Yeah, it's a scary thought.
I don't know how old we're just going to be.
Old.
20.
Old.
Six.
Old.
28.
27. Old enough.
Okay.
All right, moving along.
Don't forget to get you some liquor and wars.
Oh, that's the thing. If you do want to send liquor to celebrate any of these birthdays, please feel free to send it.
And make sure it's rum, because apparently that helps. Or some rich tells me.
Anywho, moving along then. Last bit of news we have is good news and bad news. The good news is me and Johnny were working on a changeling LARP.
Yay!
The bad news is it appears due to current university drama, we no longer have a place to host our changeling LARP.
Hey, that sucks. If you decide to go to Pan America.
Mike's right here, dude.
Yeah.
You didn't know where the mic was. You were talking into the laptop.
So,
the laptop
yeah.
has its own
like shooting.
Don't go to Pan Am University. They're terrible.
No, just the people that... I don't want to say we're running the guild. Johnny was president.
Hey.
Makes him sound bad.
Thanks, John. Thanks a lot.
In this case, everybody but the president was bad.
Yeah. Nobody wanted to do anything. And
then when I tried to get shit done, no one would back me up.
You're such
and then
baby.
When they wanted to do shit, I was like, okay, what do you want to do? And then they said, well...
We don't know.
Blah.
Yeah, it's like, what would happen is me and Johnny would set up all these LARPs because apparently they wanted to LARP. And then we'd set them up, and nobody would show up.
Saddened.
Yeah, so it kind of made us angry.
That's why I gave up a little bit inside. I mean, I did the regular shit I was supposed to do.
40 degrees outside, wind gusts at 20 miles an hour, and sleep.
Actually, we'll talk about that in another segment. We'll call it LARPing Horror Stories.
Believe me,
yeah, we'll go from there. But, alright, I think that's about wraps it up for updates in our intro. And if you know about any LARPs going on that are possibly close by, let us know.
Or any cheap anime conventions. I gotta sell my stuff.
So, yeah. Alright.
I've done it. This show is part of the Kobold Broadcast Network.
Bloody kobolds. This show is part of the Goblin Broadcast Network at gbncom.com.
And we're back.
Yeah. And, alright, our next segment is going to be about the dreaded word that all gamers fear.
Johnny, would you like to say it?
He'll feel dirty saying it, so he must prepare himself.
Johnny the whore?
No, Johnny was the word.
Oh, no.
The word of the day is... metagaming.
Oh, no!
You said the word.
It's all right. It's all right, children. It's all right, children. You can get out now.
But Uncle Johnny, what do we do?
Bend over.
Oh, that's horrible.
What? I needed her to get my smokes. They were over there. Poive.
Poive.
Anywho.
Yes. I wish they heard that.
Okay.
Well,
Johnny.
Rich doesn't talk much.
Johnny, go ahead and tell me. What is your definition of metagaming?
Metagaming is when you bitch yourself out of the game and purposely use information you're not supposed to know.
Such as?
Such as, for example, when out of character and you're using the phone, you witness somebody kill somebody else. As a way to metagame, when you get near that person, you automatically draw your gun knowing they have a weapon.
Oh, that's a good example.
You're very smart, Mr. Man.
Thank you.
All right, Rich, what's your... definition of metagaming?
I can name it with
just you can't use a name.
You can make up a pseudo name.
Pseudo Will.
Wow, that's really low key, Kathy.
I know.
Isn't it wonderful? Wow.
Okay, go ahead.
My mind just went Lukey blank.
Lukey?
Lukey, yeah. Let's see, metagaming. What's the best?
Is that a change
one? CT, right?
CT.
CT?
CT.
Sure, yeah.
CT.
Yeah.
We'll use CT.
Yeah. CT. Yeah, CT. You could...
Stop banging your hands on the table.
My brain just went over there. I'm sorry. I'm thinking about cigarettes.
Okay, you could define metagaming to you as...
Go ahead and go first, and then I'll go while my brain picks up the pieces.
Okay.
I apologize, everybody.
I define metagaming as, for example, when we play Akkord, which is a LARP. It is, right?
Yes.
I know I LARP on that thing, unless I'm the only one. It should be awkward. When people don't call their shots, I call that metagaming, sort of.
Well, that's just cheating.
Well, cheating is metagaming.
Well, not necessarily.
Have a debate.
Okay, no debate. Okay. Why don't I have one?
Huh?
Okay, you go.
Okay.
No. You're still going.
Oh, shit. Fuck. He lost it. Look at what happened.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to use the name...
Billiam?
No.
Billiam?
Michelle.
Okay. And what did this Michelle person do?
Well, she is... She.
Okay, hurry up. I'm watching the bar, you're right by.
She knows things. Say, for example, they're looking for a pack of werewolves. And, you know, werewolf. They don't find them. And she just...
It doesn't matter.
She just assumes that any werewolf that walks by is whatever has what they need. And so because of Mike.
Well, that's not metagaming, that's just ignorance.
Well, ignorance is I think everything he does is metagaming. You
actually
put me on the spot without letting me think.
Rich put you on the spot, not me.
Fuck you, Rich.
It was my duty to society. Actually, for metagaming, I would put him along the lines of...
Okay. An unknowing metagamer.
Me telling him something as to... Or actually, let's go back to worthy of cheating.
Yeah.
What was his name? Okay.
Worthy of cheating.
Something happened to him, I think, on Wednesday night where we were doing a short RP session in between the three of us.
Yeah.
And we gave him something called Dragon Scale.
Which, you know, in-game is a...
Drug. No, what is it?
It's not a drug. It's a potato chip.
Oh.
It was a magic item that's usable, and once it's used, then it's gone. Anywho.
Smokes like
okay.
I'm just kidding.
He instantly assumed it was bad, coming from the four people who were there.
Were you playing?
He had heard out of character that it was a magical item.
Quote, unquote.
So he didn't want to take it in-game. And now I am... more than likely sure that he's going to run around and tell everybody else involved that it is a magic item and is not to be used.
Well, at least the people he companies with.
Yeah.
People company him?
Yeah. Yeah, they actually have their own little clique now.
That's...
They think they're cool.
They wear leather jackets and grease their hair. And then they bebop and like snap their fingers to the same music that randomly appears. Randomly.
Ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum. Boom, boom.
But I will tell you one thing that's good about knowing somebody that does metagame a lot is you can tell them a rumor out of character, so they use it in character and they destroy their lives.
Yeah, that's actually happened before.
Rich really likes using his hands.
Yeah. Have you thought of anything, honey?
Let's see. Within any game, any example.
Yeah. Okay. My definition of metagaming is as such, when a person uses knowledge that their character wouldn't know, and they use it in-game as though it was their knowledge. One example of this is a few LARPs back. Well, we had a scene in which somebody, who I won't say names, witnessed an event out of character, and then they ran around saying, "Oh yeah, this happened, it totally happened, I was there, I saw it happen." And then when I went up to them and said, "Well, you were out of character during that time." "Oh. Oh."
I think I know who it is.
"Oh, oh, oh.
I know."
But, yeah, okay. Let's go ahead and talk about some of the positives that can come out of metagaming, as well as the negatives, which I know there's many numerous negatives that come out of metagaming.
Positives, John? What do you mean, positives?
Well, you see, as what Rich said before, if you know that metagaming happens, you can use that to your advantage, which one rule that I used to have in my LARPs, and Johnny knows this, is if you're going to talk...
I want to see the screen.
Is, what is it? If you're going to talk about your character, the rule was lie. The reason being is people were going to metagame regardless, so we had made a rule that everything you said in character or out of character was considered in character. So if I was doing a scene with Johnny and I went out of character for something and I watched Johnny get killed by Rich, but since I was out of character, I wasn't there, I could technically use that in game.
Oh, I remember when you instituted that for a while.
Yeah, I did that for a while because it stopped people from metagaming, because everything they said could be used in character, so it stopped it.
We use that to our advantage so often.
But more importantly, it's like, let's say you know somebody's a metagamer. Like, we'll take Worthy of Cheating, for example. And we went and we told them a rumor, one that was completely random. Well, not just completely random, but completely wrong. And we'll use Johnny as an example in this example. Because it has to do with his Amgard character, Dazilla. Okay?
He's lovable.
Dazilla has this, ability to put tattoos on his people that are his slaves, quote-unquote, in order to keep tabs on them.
Yes.
I guess you'd say that?
Yeah, that's a good way of saying it.
All right. One of the players came up with the idea that, wait a minute, you know, if I get this tattoo, it means I become a lizard man slowly, right? And then me and Johnny looked at each other, and we said, totally, that's totally what happens. So Will...
Yeah, get used to your scales early.
So Will, who found out about this, completely abused this, and he's like...
Really?
Yeah.
Who?
Who?
Will!
Worthy of Cheating?
Worthy of Cheating?
Worthy of Cheating?
Oops.
Mr. Incognitus?
It happens. Anywho, basically what he did was he went around assuming this, and as such he's almost completely avoided Johnny's characters for that specific reason. Because he doesn't want to turn into a lizard man.
Oh, that little...
yes.
But anywho...
don't worry, he makes up for it by the way he acts in his total idiocy and the way he runs.
And the way he pees his pants.
Anywho.
Oh, that's disgusting, man.
You're
okay,
disgusting.
Johnny, can you think of any positives that come out of metagaming?
Metagaming positives. If I really had to think of one?
Well, I mean, you know, metagaming isn't something we encourage, but it's something that happens.
Yeah, and if you have to deal with it, I guess you have to try to, like, overlap it, so you basically take advantage of the fact that they're trying to cheat. So it doesn't become cheating, but more, either you could try it for either their downfall or to progress their story even further.
That's true.
I mean, think about it. If somebody wasn't supposed to witness someone die, and he actually starts spreading it around, then point said he became a liability in character.
And you whack.
And you whack. Whack.
All right, Rich, can you think of any positives as far as metagaming?
Well, my positive may be not too positive, but I'm a funny kind of person, I think, or at least like to think.
Smile. No one saw that.
I think it's great to let people metagame right off the bat,
cool,
so
cool.
That when it gets to the point where it's so bullshitty,
uh-huh,
and you call them on it, they get mad and they look funny.
Men better.
And then
care.
It proves to everybody else there why you don't metagame. So when people are metagaming horribly, you can use them as an example to prove to the other people why you don't do it.
Exactly.
That's true. Okay, honey.
Yes.
Why could metagaming be positive?
Well, I don't know. I guess when you get more information from people who are just willing to give it to you.
Well, it's not metagaming so much as taking advantage of people.
Well,
stupid.
That's the advantage of metagaming.
Okay. One way that I used metagaming to advance storyline, as Johnny said, and it actually worked out really funny, was when we did our Laws of the Ascension Mage LARP, there was a flood coming to the city, and only a few characters knew about it. So I let them go around telling everybody, I hope you have your swimming trunks, and stuff of that nature.
Nobody got it.
And nobody got it until the end. And
they were pissed.
Yeah, they were pissed. And I have to admit, I thought it was funny, though. What do you think, Johnny?
It was funny, but then again, I knew.
Yeah, I should thank God for that. At the end, I was like, why did I do this?
You're the one who did that.
No, not that.
Oh.
You're the one who left the beer on the roof and then left the building?
Hey, I couldn't help it. I got sucked into a scene. I got to enjoy my pool and my beer and my umbrella and my chair, so you owe me one.
I don't know. That character died.
Oh, no. Shit. But anywho. All right, Johnny. What are some of the main negatives of metagaming?
Oh. Metagaming. What do I hate about it? What can't I hate about it? Mostly, it's because when people metagame, I don't know, is it just me? But they suddenly have an air of confidence that is too
cocky.
Irritating.
Yeah.
It is irritating.
They think they're the shit of the shit.
Yeah, because when they think they have the answers that we're trying to keep hidden,
they think that
they've got it. They think it's the ace in the hole. Like, hey, if they bring it up, I'll just be like, oh, I just happen to be.
But if you're an experienced role player, you find that funny.
Yeah. Yes.
Empathetic.
Because when he had to keep secret for so long, he'd just be like, hey. I talked to this guy, and this guy, and guess what? They told me this. And even better, besides what you know, I also know this.
Yeah. But keep in mind, you know, there's a difference between metagaming and the character going up to another character and asking them what they know.
Yes.
So, yeah.
I mean, like, people that metagame usually really take the fun out of situations that they're put in.
Yeah. I know that a lot of people we know have metagamed to get out of situations horribly, so. And then all of a sudden when things go, I guess, back on track, they're like, hey, I'm back in the scene. So, yeah, kind of drives me nuts. And, yeah. All right, Rich, what are some of the negatives for you as far as metagaming?
For me, it just completely kills the RP. When I go to a LARP, I'm there to roleplay. I'm not there to deal with idiots and cheaters. And I put cheaters and metagamers on the same level as cheaters. So,
yeah.
I really, and in my view, I don't have time to go and deal with cheaters. Yeah. So I'd rather just avoid them at all costs. And if people consider that metagaming, well, I guess I metagame, but I...
Yeah, but I mean, you think it's right to metagame for the sake of metagaming? Think about it. It's like, we'll take that CT example for a moment, where it's like...
You're going to keep it at CT, right?
Hopefully. Where it's like...
Because I'll kick you in the shin if you don't. I'll be like, the minute you start saying something else, I'm going to kick you in the shin. I'm telling you this now.
Okay, real quick.
Uh-huh.
The guy, if you want to imagine who CT is, what is it, Grandma's Boy? What was the guy's name?
JT.
Yeah, he looks exactly like that guy.
And he almost acts.
Yeah, exactly
like
that guy.
He has a raw vagina.
except he has BD. What, no sadness out of this? It's like, no, aww.
Everybody just broke out into laughter, Johnny.
Yeah, that's horrible.
He had it coming. Anywho. The way that I see it is, okay, like, we'll take that example that you said before, and it's like, well, you know, this character or this player metagame, so I'm not going to interact with him. In a way, that's its own form of metagaming. In a way.
But if it kills your RP experience to deal with a guy, is it really worth role playing with a guy? I mean, if you go up and you know at the beginning of the night that this guy's going to cheese his way through everything, is it worth going up and talking to him?
Well, probably not. But you know, I guess the point I'm trying to get across is
be nice to people with sexually transmittable diseases.
No. I guess the point I'm trying to get across is...
Oh, that's horrible.
Is, does it help the situation, or does it only add to the metagaming of it?
It probably adds to the metagaming, but at the same time, all of his metagaming buddies will hang out with him, and they can metagame together.
Metagaming orgies.
What you know?
In case you didn't catch it, I was humping the table.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. All right, buddy, what are some of the cons of metagaming?
Oh, I hate it. It's just like Johnny said, it gives people this weird air of confidence. And...
Keep going. Don't look at me.
No, pretend it didn't happen. It's my turn to talk.
Okay.
There's this...
It was so young.
You're ruining my segment.
Keep going.
I've seen people who metagame, they have this look in their eye that just pisses me off because they know something. Because they watched me and they shouldn't have been there. They weren't even like obfuscated or anything when we played the Vampire LARP. And they'd just be standing there. They didn't have any hand signal or whatever what they were doing. Just listening to what I was saying if I was talking to another role player about something private. And then later on, I see him talk about it. Like that one time I was talking to my pirate buddies.
When we were doing the Exalted LARP.
I was talking about a plan. And you're good. It wasn't really metagaming, but it pissed me off. I just have to say it. You were right there, Rich. You were just standing right behind me the whole time I was talking. And the girls didn't even look up. They were just like, uh-huh. And Maria actually saw you.
But she didn't say anything.
She was just there like, what's Rich doing here? And I turn and you're like, thanks for all the information. And I'm like, fuck!
That's awesome, great, yeah.
Well, that's different, that's not metagaming.
That's just bad circumstances right there.
No, on your part. The worst case of metagaming that I've ever seen in my life was by the name of some big, husky, ugly guy by the name of Pablo.
No, we'll call him Pablo. I really don't like
Pablo.
Him.
Yeah, Pablo. How does he talk, Johnny?
Huh?
How does he talk?
Hey, I'm Pablo.
Okay.
I sound like a puffy penguin pirate. Waddle, waddle.
He actually does waddle.
Anywho, he showed up drunk to one of the werewolf LARPs.
Yeah.
And John was doing the spirit quest for somebody with a giant eagle or something.
Yeah.
And
they were
in the Umbra. And he was playing just a regular guy, and he walked into the Umbra and started following him. I said, hey, what are you doing? And he's like, well, I'm cheesing. I'm following them. I mean, it openly admitted it to the world that he was doing.
Oh, my God.
But didn't have a problem with it. What?
No, it's that, but you just said it. Shit. And John, when he did the guys.
You remember that, right?
I'm
cheesing.
Because, like, I was in the pack that he was following.
I love
cheese. And that was, like, irritating me because, like, I'm not the guy here, and I'm like, I can't metagame and tell him to not do it because I'm not in the Umbra myself to tell him that, hey, stop following us.
It's like this guy. Oh my God,
it's like I don't want to sink down to his level to get him away from me. But like,
we actually finally did have to instigate a rule in that werewolf LARP, which was if you don't have anything shiny on you, you can't go into the Umbra. And that really pissed a lot of people off, but it stopped a lot of, you know, cheese sticking because people were like, well, I go into the Umbra. I'm like, let me see your mirror. And people wouldn't carry mirrors with the exception of Kyle, which Kyle was cool.
And a little gay for carrying a mirror around.
But anywho, when that Pablo guy tried to jump into the Umbra and I said, well, you know, where's your mirror? He's like, oh, well, I use that glass over there. And I said, well, can you go and see yourself in it? So he walked over there and we walked off. You remember that, Johnny?
No, actually, I don't. I think I was there in that scene.
Yeah, you were. You were part of the pack when they were.
Oh, yeah.
You just said you were part of the pack, and then you forgot you were part of the pack.
No, I didn't say I forgot about the pack. I just forgot I was a part of that scene.
Yeah. But anywho,
Metagaming is bad.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I guess we'll go ahead and wrap that up. Metagaming is bad. Don't do it. Sometimes people do it subconsciously.
You're a storyteller, and you happen to catch people metagaming. Don't automatically get mad at them. You take advantage of it.
And ream them.
Yes.
Horrible. Ream them hard.
All right.
Vibrate.
And that's it for this segment.
Hi, I'm Jeff.
And I'm Judd.
And we are the Sons of Cryos. And when Judd isn't chewing on the microphone...
or rubbing my beard on it, we are actually recording a podcast that is about play and what happens at our game table.
We have a lot of fun. We talk about all sorts of RPGs and things that happen at that table.
We talk about indie RPGs. We talk about mainstream RPGs, things that are coming out of WotC, things that are coming out of The Forge. We run the gamut, and we keep it positive. We love gaming, and we want to let that shine through, and that's what our show is about.
And if you would like to check us out, come to our website at
www.sonsofkryos.com. That is SONSOFKRYOS.com.
And we're back.
Yes, we are. Johnny, yes. This next segment is about
character endings.
Ah, well, more specifically endings. But not just character endings, also story endings. And now, to clear things up, ending a character doesn't necessarily mean killing a character off.
It could simply mean retirement. Just simply being like, I've taken this character as far as I can take it, and now...
it's time for me to smoke up.
Smoke up. Please, what type of person do you take me for?
Jimmy Bomb.
Actually, what happens is that at one point or another, people eventually have characters that, well, can't do much more in the setting they're in.
Let's break away off real quick and talk about that. What level for you, Johnny, do you think a character reaches when you feel it's time to retire them? Like, for you. What would be your point?
My point would probably be when the character grows too powerful for his own good. It's basically the point where you basically make everyone else scared of you. But not even... listen, not even... Hold on.
I'm not done.
I'm not done! I don't mean like... and I don't mean because you just make them scary. Like, it's not psychological. I mean, like, literally. Like, even out of character, they know you're a fucking badass.
Yeah.
And basically, it's the point where it hinders your ability to do anything in the game because no one will talk to you or interact with you at all.
Even casual roleplay.
Yeah.
Because they're afraid of you.
Yes. Because they're like, hey, I know you can read my mind and erase my memories and stuff, but can I have some cookies?
All right, then. Rich, what's the point that you feel when you should retire a character?
When I have no idea what I want to do with him. Absolute 100% boredom.
In other words, would you feel that you've reached what you wanted to do with your character and now the character's just kind of floating?
Yeah.
Okay. Honey, what about for you?
I guess when your character just runs out of stuff to do.
But, okay, to be fair with that, for your two, I guess, points, is it really the character's fault because you came so far, or is it because you didn't plan anything? If that makes any sense.
I didn't plan anything.
So would you retire your character just because you're like, I made this character specifically to screw up the sewer systems, and I have enough points of bureaucracy, and I've done that, and now you retire.
No, I wouldn't do that. It's just maybe my character's left out its usefulness.
Oh. Okay. Going back to the main point, Johnny, I know that your first character, Jacob Graves, who we talk a lot about because he was awesome.
He was for sex hours.
Now, at the time, you were a brand new role player, and a LARPer at that. And I have to admit, the most interesting thing about you is when you made your character, you already had an ending for him in mind.
Yes. Originally, before thinking about the whole werewolf aspect of it, I thought that eventually he'd go back to Russia and face basically the fears that he left behind. Because whatever happened in the storyline would give him the strength to go on with it.
Alright. So in a way, you... Now, your character in the beginning was real personal. Like, yeah. He had a lot of personal demons, so yeah. to speak. Like, dealing with the death of his mother,
the
abandonment of his father, and then also dealing with the fact that the only person who ever loved him, which was a nun, you know, suddenly got her grave desecrated.
Oh, don't get started on that shit. Basically what happened is that his prelude was basically that his mother died giving birth to him. His father, a well-known politician, denied having him. A nun that took care of him was deathly ill and died right before the game started. He worked with the Russian mob and ended up in a horrible traumatic situation that gave him nightmares. He was trying to become part of the clergy, and he disgraced himself out of it. What am I missing? What am I missing? The daily animal fecal matter?
Well, that didn't happen until after, but yeah. I'd have to say that
something.
You set up your character very interesting, especially for a brand new LARPer.
Well, he is an actor.
No, but then it's like, as the supernatural things came into play, I don't want to say your character started making sense, but it kind of gave you, like, your character as a person, an excuse why all this shit was happening to him.
Yeah, because, like, I made a lot of bad shit happen to him before the game happened.
Yeah.
I don't know why, I thought it'd be better.
I thought it'd be better if his life is...
Exactly! Because when your life is truly happy, does anything really bad happen? You.
Yeah. Which is also why, you know, that chronicle ended poorly. That was also why the chronicle ended, because you guys had defeated the main villainess, and you guys had, quote-unquote, saved the day, and, yeah, I mean...
There was always meant to be a chapter two. There was always planned.
There was meant to be a chapter two, but honest to God, I was so sick and tired of vampires. Oh God, I hate vampires.
You could have maybe go on a killing spree, John.
I was actually there for the last night.
Actually, the funny thing about that is, I broke my role-playing teeth, so to speak, on, you know, Vampire the Masquerade, and I had just gotten so burned out on Vampire when they approached me, "Hey, we want you to run a LARP for us." I said, "Cool." And I said, "What do you want me to run?" They're like, "Can you run Vampire?" And I was like, "Oh, Vampire. Why Vampire?" And then I made them all play Mage. It's true. They loved it.
Yeah.
Their ass were sore at first, but oh, they loved it. They loved like a man loving cheese.
I don't know if I want to agree with them on this.
Well, men do like cheese.
You like cheese.
I do like cheese.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
So it's true by default.
Rich can't have cheese.
Okay.
I'm immune to cheese.
You call it immunity?
I am immune to cheese because it kills me.
Just give it.
Anywho.
I find it funny.
Alright, moving right along.
It is.
Alright then, moving along. I'm gonna go ahead and throw this out there, and the first person to jump in gets something.
A cookie. A milkshake. You owe me a milkshake.
Okay. Let's say, Johnny, we're gonna hypothetically make characters for the new Changeling LARP, alright? Now, let's pretend you know nothing about the new Changeling meta plot and stuff like that.
Alright.
But I tell you the basics of the game. I tell you, basically, it's about a game of you were stolen as a child by fairies, and you escaped from the fairy realm only to find out that something else is taking your place. And I tell you, now go ahead and make your character accordingly. And I expect you to plan a little bit of a prelude, but not much, because I'll be providing that. What your character is currently doing, and a planned ending for your character.
Well, I'm going to guess that if he was taken as a child, I wouldn't, like, give him... I obviously wouldn't intend on making him believe he had children or a wife, for that matter.
Okay.
But, like, I'd probably stick him with the thought that he loved his parents, and that being separated from them was the worst part of being taken as a child.
Okay.
Especially since it was probably a younger age. His probably main goal would be, when he got back, was to try to reunite. But finding out this other person was there, he realized he couldn't automatically step in.
Okay.
I mean, he probably ended up in a random situation where, like, he thought he was okay, and then he spotted himself, like, going into the house or whatever.
He's like, but that's not me. I'm me. Who's the real me?
And, like, right now, I would probably even say, like, just for a more character aspect, that one of his parents is already dead, so he's already lost his chance to reunite with one of them, which makes his need to reunite with the other one even more. More special. I probably end it, if I wanted him to end it in like a happy ending sense, the happy ending sense would probably be that he finds a way to eliminate. Yes, I'm going to use the word eliminate.
Murder so happy.
Determinate. I'm going to annihilate my clone. and basically take back the life that was supposed to be mine.
Alright.
However, if I wanted to end it in a bad way, I would say that, all in all, my mother herself was always part of the Fae.
And she knew this was coming, that's why she planned it, and she plotted it. She's like, you know what? Take my son.
I don't want him, he's ugly.
But that sounds like a plot
twist. Oh, no, even better. She was a changing herself, but offered me in her place for her master.
Now that's twisted, Johnny.
Oh, come on!
Johnny, that's why it's cool.
You spilled the best bullshit from your mom.
It tastes like butter.
It tastes like butter, but it feels like fat.
Okay, Rich, same scenario that I told Johnny.
Well, unlike Johnny, I can't just sit down on the fly and come up with something off the top of my
head. Expect you to. Well,
you're a terrible person.
Yes, John.
Well,
that's why we're brothers.
Yeah. I'm marrying one of them. Guess which one?
Is it me? I hope it's me. Better be me.
It's you.
So I was kidnapped by Faye as a kid?
Yeah. Okay. We'll say at the age of 3 months.
How long?
3 months.
Three months. No memory of my parents whatsoever. Yeah. I have no memory of my household. So life with a Faye is all I've ever known.
Yeah. But you managed to escape due to the fact that other children were brought in a couple of years older than you, and they told you about the real world. So maybe, you know, we'll say for the sake of story or for the sake of this scene that the children led a kind of a little escape.
So for all intents and purposes, I could consider it as the children kidnapped me from my world into their world, so I'm wanting to get back to my reality?
In a way, yeah. But you'd have to worry about the huntsman, but I'll talk about that later. But how would you go about creating a beginning for that? Or the beginning I already gave you. What your character is currently doing and an ending for your character.
How old is the character now?
I'll leave that up to you entirely.
Okay, well,
we'll say your current age.
Okay, 27. I guess if you've been exposed to fairies and everything else, I guess the most logical place for somebody to work that's very sick and twisted would probably be a porn shop.
I was thinking a mental institute.
I was
going to say a toy store.
The porn's awesome.
A porn store, you know, like an adult toy shop. Because you have freaks in there all the time and nobody pays them.
He's right, you know.
Even the fading porn.
Okay, and as far about as ending your character, how would you go about ending your character?
Ending my character? Well, most of my characters die horribly.
So what's going
to
happen.
Oh, yeah, but still, I think it's important to end your character, because I actually did get to end one of your characters.
That was fun.
Lucky bastard.
He probably For me, it would probably be trying to figure out which reality was
the real one.
You know, okay. Because since you've lived in both so long, your mind has to make the decision for you. So it'd become kind of a middle game for me.
So would a good ending for your character be, I'm just throwing this out there, that maybe your character possibly lost touch with both realities because he couldn't tell the difference, so he kind of went crazy and he spent the rest of his life in a mental institute?
That could work, because crazy people are the only ones that know what's really going on.
It would happen in Mage.
Yeah. Or, you know, the other possible ending would be you returning back to, you know, Arcadia. And, yeah.
Being like, hey guys, I missed you.
I'm a little crazy, but I'm okay.
Okay.
It's scary over there. That seems so dull.
Same scenario. Same scenario as Johnny and Rich.
Well, I guess all of my family will still be alive.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's nice to know you've got a whole family.
Okay.
I can't choose the age I was taken.
Yeah, you can. It's just Rich wasn't sure, so I didn't do it.
Like, maybe 2 years old.
Okay.
You know, you have the whole motor functions and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to be able to move.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how I get out of...
Well, don't worry about how you got out. Just worry about...
Okay, well, I'm there.
You're back in the real world, and let's say, for the sake of the scene, you're being tracked down by what they call the Arcadian Huntsmen, which are these huntsmen that track down and kill all the changelings that escape from the Land of Fae and to bring their dead bodies back so they can be recycled back into, back into the dreaming... Well, not necessarily the dreaming, what's it called?
So the dreaming.
The fairy realm.
There you go.
The H...
Yeah, back into the
fridge. There! Johnny's read the book.
So, keep in mind that your character does have that danger, I guess.
Okay, well, I'll keep that in mind with the character. Because
mm-hmm.
that seems... That would help with my ending.
Okay.
I don't know if you want me to talk about what I
heard.
What
would your... Okay, let's say we're starting a LARP tomorrow. What would your character be doing?
Well, would be a substitute art teacher.
Okay.
Because, you know, she gets to teach. Plus, it's with kids who don't even care about the subject, so she doesn't really have to work.
Okay. Alright, and how would you see your character ending?
These things kill, right? The hunts thingy about.
Yeah, it's very rare that they take something back alive.
Okay. So, are they seeable by people?
Well,
humans.
Typically, the way it works in the new Changeling game is there's what they call the Mien, or the Mayin. I forgot how you pronounce it. And basically, that means the real version of it. For example, if you saw the Queen of Winter as a Changeling, you would see her like in a long, flowing white dress with snowflakes everywhere. What a normal person would see is a pretty lady wearing a white dress.
Okay.
So, in other words...
So, if they kill me, they could, like, throw it off as, like, a gang fight.
Yeah, or... what you can do, or what a changeling can do, is spend a point of glamour to let a mortal see what it really is. So, for example, it could look like you have, like, this big, bulky, kind of, like, skinhead guy that's been chasing you all this time, but you see him as, like, this 10-foot tall, sort of like stag creature who has like these horns out, and he's always, you know, chasing you down with a bow and stuff.
And antlers.
Okay.
Don't forget antlers.
Well, the way I see my character dying.
No.
Or not dying, but I want her to die.
Okay, so you had already assumed that you wanted your character to die as an ending?
I want her to die as the ending.
Okay.
And I want her to die protecting her family that has never really known her. She's never really known them except for maybe a few glimpses and maybe speaking to them on little terms like, hi, how are you? Or,
okay.
And...
Okay, let's say for an ending that isn't death, what would it be? Because you always have to remember story, don't always go...
Yeah, don't always end with death. Well, I guess... She'd probably just keep running.
But... Is it safe to assume that your character still on the run would be an ending? Because, I mean, you have to look at it the way that you would look at, like, a movie. Go ahead.
She moment where there's just this, where she sees them and she realizes how happy they are, and she just wouldn't want to break up that happiness. And so
she kind of goes her separate way.
So just by seeing her family be so happy the way they are, that's enough for her, and she'll just go back to what she was doing with that happiness.
Okay.
My ending's better than yours, John.
Johnny's is awesome.
I gave two endings.
Hey, I gave two, too!
Hey.
Everybody gave two, Johnny.
Except only gave one.
He only gave one. He doesn't care.
But it's fake. I mean, for WoW games, I have my own generic character that I can play because I don't like playing Supernaturals. So.
Well, they don't like playing you either. They don't like being rich.
Okay, nobody ever liked me in Helmlark.
What?
Anywho, alright. Johnny, let's search this out a little bit further, seeing as how we're most of the time the storytellers.
Lucky. Ow.
Well, if you want a storyteller, you can.
Wasn't she supposed to?
I'm doing a story tomorrow.
Yes.
Anywho, let me see. As far as ending a story or a chronicle goes, now, as a note of thumb, I think it would be important to end as many characters along with the ending of the story, but how would you go about, I'm asking you as a person, how would you go about ending a massive chronicle, especially a LARP?
It would definitely depend on the story, to be honest. I mean, like, you're looking at a game where it's really, where, like, your characters are really out in the open type of people, like, if you're playing, like, a, let's see, what's a good game?
Changeling.
Okay, let's talk Changeling. Changeling.
Because I like the book.
Changeling's really secretive. It's really secretive,
but in the same way, it's also really out there, depending on how you play it.
Like, a real way I'd probably end it is, I'd probably make a big dilemma throughout the entire storyline that eventually the head is starting to be burned out by the reality of man, and so the two worlds are getting closer and closer together. It basically comes to the choice of the players. Like, whatever side they choose is depending on who lives and who dies.
But then, with that point, you'd have a real interesting scenario, because would they try to stop the hedge from burning? Because if they did that, there'd be a lot of benefits. But if they tried to save the hedge, there's a lot of benefits there, too. Because, in a weird way, the hedge also protects them from the Fae.
Yeah.
But if the hedge isn't there anymore because of what the men are doing, then the lords and ladies can easily track them, because they go, oh, there you are. Let me get my gun.
So basically, like, I would be the only one who would know the outcome of what would happen once the hedge is burned out.
Okay.
And it's up for the characters just to find out whether or not it's a bad thing or a good thing in their character's mind. Because, you know, not everyone's going to have the same opinion.
Okay, well,
so, it'd be an easier way to end a chronicle along with a bunch of characters, depending on what side they chose. Like, if I decided that when the hedge burns out, let's say the Fae are able to, like, freely walk the earth, this reality as they truly are, then that would mean all the Fae that thought that saving the hedge would be a good idea, all their characters wiped out. It's a dick move, but
that's
it works.
Game over.
It's a dick move, but at least it would determine who won and who lost. even though I must say it, it's not about winning or losing, because there's no such thing in roleplay.
It's about seeing how many people you can take with you.
Exactly.
I high-fived again.
We
that's
like that.
Three now.
That was three?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
I'm yeah, thinking, I like
okay.
Yours.
Yeah.
Four.
Okay, one thing, Johnny, I'm going to ask you. Do you think an ending for a chronicle has to be big and earth-shaking, or can it be something that's, I don't want to say small and pointless, but just sort of small and conclusive?
Actually, yeah.
Okay.
It depends. Like,
I know one vampire LARP I didn't run, but I participated in. It ended with all the characters going into a coffee shop, and it was like one, the Sabbat Archeon, and one of the Camarilla Primogen, and it was like after the, there was this huge, massive Sabbat, and like, Sabbat and Camarilla War, and they were like the only survivors left. They walked into a coffee shop, they looked at each other, and you almost thought they were going to fight for a moment. Then they're like, let me buy you a coffee. And they just went in, and that's how the chronicle ended. And I just thought that was neat.
It's like how Friends ended.
Well, no, it was like, you know what? We've already seen all this killing. We've already killed a lot of people.
Yeah.
Do you really care about this anymore?
Let's just get some decaf.
Like, personally, I think if I wanted to end it in a subtle way, it'd probably be I would dedicate one game to the effects this entire storyline has given to the character. Like, it's basically the day after tomorrow, but minus the having to worry about the cold.
And the water.
Where basically it's like, alright, all this bad shit has happened, it's finally over. How does my character deal with the fact that now they're no longer in this horrible situation, or in this random alliance, or how these people you had to trust for this one moment?
I know this isn't my thing, but if you're on the wrong side, you're dead. You don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about your dad. But like,
not if it's not an earth-shattering type game.
Yeah, but like, it's like just one of those scenarios where you're like, okay, where you just basically. It basically determines how your character, like, the ones that are alive, it determines how they choose to end their character. In a more subtle way, because, I mean, like, you can add, like, your, like, random supernatural here and there to be like, well, you did it. Congratulations.
See you later.
Like, I gotta go now. Like, basically how I would prefer is that all the characters that survived would... The final scene would take place in the funeral of one of the other characters that played a big part in the story.
I actually started a LARP that way. It was great. I started a LARP with a funeral. But, anywho, yeah.
Yeah, but that's how I would end it that way, and just, like, one of them giving a eulogy. Preferably the one that knew him the best. Preferably. But it could always be some random one that no one would expect to give the eulogy.
Okay. All right, Rich, same question I asked Johnny.
He doesn't know the question.
Well, it wasn't a question so much as a topic. All right, as far as ending a chronicle goes,
would you end it with a big bang or a little?
Or very subtly. Or more specifically, would you prefer that the ending be something that's big and dramatic and sort of Hollywoodish, or something that just gets the point across?
I prefer just getting the point across, just because a big Hollywood ending is too foreseeable and it's way too overdone.
I like
the thing that you talked about where it's like the two guys have been fighting all day long, you know, or they keep going at it and going at it and going at it and going at it, and then they finally get to the point where it's like, this is pointless. Hey, can I buy you a drink? Sure, let's go. Let's go get a drink.
Some more?
I'm going to buy you dinner. Yeah, okay, good. Let's buy dinner.
So, yeah.
Virgin on the rocks.
We could just leave you sitting there for hours talking about what those two would have for dinner.
Yeah.
Well, actually, the funny thing about that is later I found out that after that chronicle ended, that the storyline it continued, but the city became an anarch city, so that's pretty interesting. But, yeah. All right, honey, same topic?
Question.
Well, question, topic, answer.
I'm going to, God! I would go out with, you know, a little thing.
Okay.
Because people... If it's a war, people expect it to, like, oh, it's going to be big, people are going to die, we're going to go out with this big bang, and then nobody's going to forget it. But people remember the little things a lot more.
Yeah, on that subject, Johnny, what would be your most memorable ending for a character?
Most memorable ending for a character?
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, like, in what retrospect? Just, like, the last time I played?
Like, yeah, we'll go ahead and do with that.
Like, the last time a character I... Please. I want you to explain this better. I want to make sure, because I want to pick the right response here.
Okay. The last time you played a character and retired it.
Because in reality, I've never...
Yes, you have! Stab!
Like, some of the memorable things I remember...
Okay,
I actually got one.
Okay.
It was actually that first LARP we did. That's the first LARP I did, at least.
Yeah.
It was the first LARP where, like, the actual last game we played before we got into Mage was actually the day. It was actually the
ending of the first chapter.
It was like the game after I, like, helped finish off this horrible vampire bitch.
She was a Bali.
She was a Bali with no heart. How the fuck do you kill a bitch with no heart?
I don't know. You stake her. Like, how can you stake something with no heart? You stake it with a big stake so it's stuck on the wall.
Anyway, like, basically what happened is that he got introduced to some old people who he hadn't actually seen in a while, including a vampire, the only vampire who he ever got drunk with. It was yeah. one of those reintroductions, like, hey, didn't we get drunk together once?
And she was, no, you're wrong!
Yeah, denial, denial. We both know what happened. You loved it.
In the... Anywho.
No, but, like, it actually gave him time to, like, see who was around afterwards. Like, because, of course, you couldn't be in every scene, so you didn't know who all the casualties were in that game.
Who survived and who died.
Like, you're like, what happened to Rick? Oh, he didn't come in today. And you just have to be like, oh, okay.
He must be dead.
Yeah.
I guess I'm going to have to do his paperwork.
And, like, he basically enjoyed the job he had to take on because of random incidents that got him fired from his job as a gravedigger. Bastard.
They can't see you doing that.
I'm digging a grave.
Basically, all he was doing was having to relive his life now, because it was over. The thing that was basically destroying his life for the last months, almost to a year, right?
Yeah.
It was almost to a year. Like, the thing that had been tormenting him this entire time had finally ended. And all he had to do, and all he could really do, was live his life again. And that's what I found really cool about it.
Even then, that's like the point where we stop the reel on the movie and we go into, like, to the fan fiction and stuff and say, like, well, you know, how did he deal with, you know, living a normal life?
Yeah.
Did he get laid?
And that's when you make random non-canon comic books. Nah, I couldn't do it. He's got too much honor. Oh, you could have, yeah. I wouldn't have liked you.
But anywho, alright. Johnny, anything else to add to endings?
Endings. Most people, I just say, if you want an ending, you should base it off what game you're playing. Because some games, even though, like, some games are harder to do with a less subtle ending, especially if, like, depending on the storyline. Like, you're, like, if the storyline is basically you're in a war, it's gonna have to be the end of the war of some stature, whether the people you're with have actually dominated, or whether the regime that you've been fighting for so long has finally wiped you out. Like, if it's a storyline like that, you've gotta go with a big ending, only because it's horrible. It's a horrible situation you gotta put yourself through.
Not really. I mean, the evil dictator could die on the toilet taking a crap, and the entire thing's over.
That's true.
And then every soldier there that's been fighting this huge war has to stop and decide if they want to continue to fight the war, or if they just want to go back home to their wives and their kids.
And you know they're going to choose the other one.
Or more importantly, you can do something where, like, all the generals suddenly die, and now, like, all these, you know, grunts are in charge, and they have to decide, do we stay in charge, or do we leave?
You know what? Undead. That's all it is.
Dude,
undead.
That'd be like Monty Python, where they're all fighting, and they just go, well, he's dead. Oh, okay.
Rich, any last notes about
on the crapper man?
What? It happens.
He had a heart attack because he pushed too hard.
There's only one movie I've seen that happen.
It happened to Elvis.
No.
He went back to Mars.
He's still alive. Along with the other Nosferatu.
All I can say about endings is I don't like it when they come, but when they do, it's always been enjoyable getting there.
Yeah.
And all I can tell you is if you ever meet somebody who's by the name of, is it Worthy of Cheating?
Worthy of Cheating.
He has never had the honor of ending a character because his average shelf life is about a night.
Or two minutes.
No, 2 weeks was the longest running thing he had. Okay, and it's not because we... And I say we because I'm always an ST, where we're purposely picking on him or purposely hassling him. It was all silly things that he did, like jumping into a hellhive of a Black Spiral dancer to kill all the xenomorphs there, and by xenomorphs, aka Banes.
For no apparent reason.
Mind blasting a bunch of people in a bar.
And then suffering paradox from it.
As a member of the Technocracy.
Yeah, anywho.
And then being a traveling priest, only to forget about the flood and get drowned.
He honestly did forget about it.
Actually,
wait,
it was funny.
Wait, he made a character as the flood was coming?
No, he made a character the night before and he played it, and he found out that the flood was coming, but he forgot about it because he got so caught up.
Yeah, so he actually came in not even dressed in garb because he had just come up from somewhere else.
Garb! Ah!
Stop it.
I That's right. I remember him walking up and saying, "Hey guys, I'm here to play. What happened?" Will, you're dead.
Oh!
By that time, we were all taking.
God bless.
Because we all knew that something big was supposed to happen. Even though that half of us didn't realize was Halloween, and that we could use our abilities without any penalties or paradox.
Yeah, it was Halloween?
Halloween that night.
We had a rule for that LARP, which was actually like in the first edition Mage, but I brought it back. And that was on Halloween, paradox didn't affect mages the way it normally did. Rather, paradox would personify as one person called Mr. Paradox. And whenever a person would cast a spell, time would suddenly stop. That person was pulled off to the side, and it was called the wheel of fate. And it was literally like Wheel of Fortune, except you spun the wheel, and whatever you got, that's the effect that happened to your character. So, for example, like if it was something like your bones turned to glass, all of a sudden your bones would turn to glass. Or, you know, you spin the wheel of fate and you suddenly turn into a puppy.
Are there any good things on that thing?
There were some good or random things, I should say. I don't know about good, but it's like
you got a new car!
That's my old car.
Right. But you didn't have it anymore, so it's new!
One of them that actually worried the players a lot was nothing happens at all.
Hey, that could be interpreted many ways.
That's why it worried so many people. They're like, I don't know about that. That makes me worried. Because what really happened was if you got nothing happens at all, the next time they performed a vulgar magic, you'd spin the wheel twice, and they'd get both effects.
Oh.
So it could be something like the fireball consumes you while your bones turn to glass.
Or like, wow, your skin is paper thin.
And you're a puppy.
A paper puppy.
Splash.
It's just like... But anywho, okay, honey, any last notes on endings?
The only thing I like about endings are the after parties.
Okay. Well,
sometimes there's parties.
I guess that's it.
Some people do celebrate it.
This segment.
It's the end of a LARP.
It's the end of a LARP, and we hope you all liked it.
There was fun, and there was tears, and a whole lot of beer, but it was great while you were here.
And this is why we keep Johnny around. Alright, that's it for this segment.
It's the PAX. The G23 Paxilon Hydrochloride.
It went out on a broad wave, sir. Everyone who wants it has it.
You need to control this damage. Start a discrediting campaign to deal with these.
Sir, we feel you should know. There are other projects.
Get ready.
I would like to introduce myself. I am Gerald, your hostage.
To live at the edge.
What do you mean he's dead?
Just because I ain't a nice person, sugar, doesn't mean we can't deal.
This attack wasn't random. It was selected.
Surviving in the verse has never been harder.
You'll make a fine Alliance officer someday.
For a brown coat like you. After Serenity, the ongoing campaign, the story has a new season.
What do you mean he's dead?
Hey, what do you guys mean? Is he dead?
Is he dead?
He's dead, isn't he? What do you mean by that?
AfterSerenity.com.
And we're back, and this pretty much concludes another episode of We'd Rather Be LARPing.
Join us at the web at ratherbelarping.mypodcast.com.
Or email us at ratherbelarping@gmail.com.
At gmail.com.
Shut up! They know what I mean.
Yeah. And let me see. Our music was provided by Either Does Take My Place, which was from the PodSafe Audio Network at podsafeaudio.com. And wrapping it up, I'm John.
I'm Johnny.
I'm Rich.
I'm Kathy.
And, we're done.
Yeah, bye. Bye, my corn.